Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, all. Welcome to episode 72 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. And today we are sharing a very real look at a week of meals, specifically dinnertime meals.
Yeah. We're going to tell you guys what we really made for our families for a week-long period. We kept track earlier this month in October. And spoiler alert, we didn't nail it every night.
No. I didn't try any harder just because, I was exactly the same amount of try.
And I think our goal here, Megan, is not only to sort of give people like the real look at what busy weeknight family dinners look like, but I think as we talk through, there may actually be some tricks and tips for using leftovers and how to handle it when kids have sports practice in the evening and not everyone eats at the same time. And so we're going to touch on all those, but we're going to do it through the structure of, we wrote down what we served our families every night for a week. Mine was not pretty, actually. It was probably, if anything, it was worse than usual. If we're talking about home-cooked meals on the table where everyone eats at the same time, it was, So we're going to get into that. Couple of things before we start. You know, our numbers tell us that we are getting more and more and more new listeners every month, and we just feel really grateful for that.
Yes.
And it's always kind of a pleasant surprise. And because of that, every once in a while, we just like to kind of pause and welcome new listeners. Sometimes we blaze right into our topic. And if you're new around here, you could be like, whoa, where am I? So, just want to let new listeners know, first and foremost, to head to themomhour.com to find all of our older episodes. Anything we talk about during the show is there in a blog post titled the same as the episode. So you can use the search feature, search for what you're looking for. You can also read more about us there. You can sign up to get emails from us. So that's kind of like a first stop, I would say, wouldn't you, Megan?
Yeah,
go to the website. And then also, if you're new to podcasts, make sure you've subscribed in your podcast app or whatever you use to listen to podcasts on your mobile device. And that way you'll make sure to always see us when we have a new episode.
Yes.
We do publish once a week on Tuesdays-ish, Tuesday evening sometimes. And then we usually have a bonus once a month in addition to those weekly ones. So just welcome if you're new. And we're everywhere on social media, but I would say head to themomhour.com and at the very least subscribe to this show or sign up to get emails so you don't miss a new show. And that is all I have to say about that. But we just are really humbled, I think, by
kind of
the growing audience. So, oh, and we love it when you email us to say hello. That was the other thing. So it's just hello.
We do love that.
@mom.com. And you don't have to have anything other than to just tell us who you are and where you're listening. And we get emails like that all the time. But with new listeners, especially, it's fun to kind of hear from you. So
absolutely.
That's what I got on that. And then just one more quick little note. We've had a really nice response to the bonus interview we did for this month, October. And that was with our friend Sarah Stewart Holland. I interviewed her about politics and motherhood and why local politics are really important to her and how she's learned to talk about politics in a productive way, both on Facebook. And also she has a podcast called Pantsuit Politics, where two women from opposite sides of the political aisle really have productive conversations every week without insulting each other or fighting. And so I've gotten really good feedback on that interview. And if you haven't listened to it and if you're listening to this in real time, you know where we are in the election cycle. And if you want just some kind of uplifting thoughts and proof that there is real productive conversation happening, including between two women who don't agree on a lot of things, it's a really cool interview. I think my best interview personally that I've done.
And it's so needed right now.
Interviewing people. Yeah.
Yes.
So check that out. Again, if you're looking at our feed, it will just be a couple episodes behind this one in your feed. And it's an interview with Sarah Stewart Holland. It's called Bonus Interview Number 6. So I just kind of wanted to plug that again because it will be refreshing in your ears. So should we talk about dinner?
Let's do it.
All right. Do you have any like high level thoughts, Megan, before we get started about either about the week that we did this a couple weeks back, was early October, or yeah. just the process of it at all? Or should we just get right to the meals?
I think that the one thing that was shaping my reality that week is that John was out of town, I believe, Tuesday through Thursday. William has football practice every day till 5, and then Owen on Tuesdays and Thursdays has football practice starting at 5:30. So it's a little tricky.
Oh, wow.
So yep. that led to some kind of weird dinner times and having to sort of like make half the dinner
yep.
at one point and then like wait till the last minute to throw the other thing in. And so, yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
That's
no, all. we're going to get into all that. It's funny because a couple weeks ago we laughed about those days of having kids in the kitchen with you, like toddlers yeah. and preschoolers, when sports practices and activities don't tend to be in the evening. So having time at home in the evening isn't typically as big of a challenge. It's just having those small people attached to your body.
Right.
Whereas now you definitely, and me more moving into, now the kids don't hang on your legs while you're cooking dinner. It's just not everybody's home.
And I'm often not even in the house, and I'm like, how am I going to pull together a yes. dinner when I'm not there? So there's a lot of that kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll go. We started this on a Sunday, and Sundays I think can be interesting because you either could have a proper Sunday dinner that you actually cook, or it could be like the fridge is empty kind of
week.
You
ran out of food, or you have like a bunch of extra food, because what tends to happen to me is I often will cook a lot toward the end of the week, and then we'll go out to eat or have pizza on Friday and sometimes Saturday night. So then Sunday, it's like, we got to get all this food out of here because I have to go grocery
right.
shopping. So like,
right.
that was definitely mine.
Okay. So you wrote down I think I wrote it down for you that it was a smorgasbord.
Yes.
Because you just said, you said Clara had a quesadilla and everyone else made sandwiches and then you had leftover veggies. Do you remember this process?
There was sweet potatoes and Brussels sprouts left over from maybe Thursday or Friday the week before that had to get used up so that I could make room to do a big dishwash and then make room for more groceries the next day.
Right.
So, I think I just told everyone, it was kind of a fend for yourself. It was also one of those like Sundays where people were coming and going and we all had stuff going on. And I think
right.
one kid was at a birthday party. And so everyone kind of ate at different times too. So that was not my finest
That's all
right. way to kick the week off. But
that's all right. I have a question about leftover veggies though. Were those, they had already been roasted or
yeah,
you roasted?
Yeah, and then they were already roasted. I just popped them back in the oven.
In the oven. I was going to ask because I love roasting vegetables. I think I like it more than Brian. We did it so much for a while there. I think he got tired of it. But reheating them, because I'm a big leftover fan, as we will see as we move
yeah.
through the week. But microwaving roasted vegetables.
No, it doesn't work.
Usually not very exciting.
I usually put them back in on really high heat for just like
okay.
a couple of minutes, like at 450.
Okay.
And then they kind of get a little bit that. I mean, they're not going to taste as good as they did the first night. And it kind of depends
right.
what you're roasting as well, but I find
right.
that just like throwing it in the oven at like 450 gives you a little more of that caramelization. It heats up really fast.
Yeah,
it doesn't take long, and so
I like that. See, we're already into the practical tips.
Looks, we're heading our tips, and the sweet potatoes get a little mushy. The one thing, and usually I wouldn't eat just vegetables for dinner. That's pretty unusual, but something about sweet potatoes is just they're so filling. It feels like a meal, even though it's kind of not. So
right,
yeah,
I love that. And how does Clara like her quesadillas? Is she just a tortilla and cheese
just
kind of girl?
Just straight up cheese. She's not yep. like a lot of accoutrement. She does like, black beans, but she doesn't like them on her tacos or on her quesadillas. She likes them
yeah.
like on the side.
My girls are like that too. Which is, yeah. So we're kind of a plain quesadilla.
Yeah.
Family too. Okay. So that Sunday we actually cooked. Brian went to Costco that day, which I don't usually let him do because he'll come home with things we don't need. Sorry, honey.
Yeah.
But he got a really good price on a beef tenderloin, which is very unusual for us. We don't actually eat very much red meat at home. We both like to indulge in it when we go out, but we just don't buy a lot of red meat. And, but he did skewers of, so grilled vegetables like bell peppers and onions, and then the tenderloin pieces on a skewer on the grill.
Mm.
So that was real super yummy for us, kind of a treat with the beef. And, yeah, so, and then the kids, the girls would eat that meat. So just cut it up and, you know, they like it. Reed, who hardly eats anything, I've talked about, He at least had to try the meat. And then we supplemented them with like fruit and buttered toast. And that's something I do a lot, quite honestly, because I have one super picky eater and two, you know, I would say averagely picky. Mm-hmm. And so I can't every night make make separate meals. I really don't, but they will often end up eating buttered toast, fruit and milk if they don't like the main thing. So that's just kind of how I've chosen to roll with it. The girl, actually, I think maybe only Allegra liked the beef tenderloin, so more for us. And so Reed and Violet may both have eaten buttered whole wheat toast, fruit, and milk.
Do you ever let your kids like trade? Like, I have Owen loves vegetables and is not a big meat fan, and William loves meat more than vegetables. So sometimes they'll just like arrange a little swap on their plate, or even they'll be eating like stew, or sometimes even soup, and they'll be like picking pieces out of each other's. I let them do it because I don't care as long as it gets eaten and they're both eating something reasonable.
I think we kind of do that naturally, like especially with soups and stews. Violet loves mushrooms, so everybody will pick out their mushrooms and give them to her.
To Violet, yeah.
And you know, and off Allegra is probably just the biggest eater. She's the biggest kid and has the biggest appetite. And sometimes I forget that, so sometimes I'll kind of dole out equal portions. So she often will just take what they don't eat because she's still hungry, and they might have passed it over. So yeah, I would totally. I'd allow it.
All right.
So yeah, okay. So Monday, you said black bean nachos.
So Monday,
I wrote back. You texted me. I'm like, that sounds really good.
Yeah. Well, I believe if I recall correctly, it was because Monday night I went grocery shopping like right before I had to cook something. So
yeah, that happens to me too.
I got chicken and I got pork shoulder, but I didn't have time to cook either of those. So it was sort of by process of elimination. I needed something that I could make really fast, and it was black bean nachos. That was not a particularly busy night. Owen did not have practice. William was home by like 5:15 or 5:30. So I just, you know, after I got, I think I actually may have gone on the way to pick William up, and then I went, and got him and then came home and made it. So,
okay. So tell me about the nachos though. Some specifics about how you do it. I used to make nachos and I kind of don't anymore.
Oh, so, well, I like nachos because, you know, if someone's not into nachos, they can easily throw it on a quesadilla or on a tortilla and make a taco or a quesadilla or whatever as well. And like I said, Clara just separates everything out. So,
right.
I do black beans. I always do canned black beans. I just rinse them. And then if I have time, I will mince up some garlic and, you know, saute that up in a pan and then throw the beans in. I put on, and if I don't have time, I just use garlic powder. I use, cumin, which I think is the secret sauce as far as good black beans go. Paprika, a little chili powder. And then if I have cilantro, I use cilantro. Mm-hmm. And lime juice. Which is the other, I think the cilantro and lime juice really makes it something. In a pinch, like if I have nothing, if I have no spices and like nothing to put in there, or if we've been camping or something, I'll use a can of Rotel tomatoes. I just throw those in with the beans.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's really good. The kids don't all like, they don't like chunky tomatoes. So it's not as popular as my usual black beans, but it works. And I mean, it heats up in like 5 minutes. Like black beans are so fast. And then go ahead. I personally like to put the chips all over a cookie sheet and sprinkle everything on top and sprinkle the cheese on top and put it in the in the oven.
But that's how I used to do it.
I have gotten pushback from some in the house that they then end up with chips that don't have enough cheese or like they don't like their proportions. So now I just usually might do mine that way, but I'll let everyone else kind of do their own.
And so how do they heat them up? Or
just put them in the microwave.
Okay. So individually. This is good. Now I want nachos.
So
I love the ideas for the beans. We do a lot of black beans and stuff, but they're usually going into something that already has flavor. So I just kind of usually rinse them and put them in whatever I'm using them with, but they sound really good that way.
And they are good. And you can use them for other stuff. Like whatever there's leftovers, I'll throw them in the fridge and then I'll put them with eggs sometimes the next day.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I am doing a juice cleanse today.
Oh, and now is this making
and
you
this
really
is
hungry?
Making me so hungry. And I'm like the last person in the world who would do a juice cleanse. I just have to tell you, but like I kind of got suckered into it, and I went and bought the juice from this place in town that makes really good organic juices. And the juices are good, but they're not food. And now I really, really, really want some nachos. So let's move on.
Moving on. Okay, so our Mondays are a hot mess. Allegra has a softball practice that starts at 5:20 to 6:50. So it's as dinner hour as you can. Like you really can't do an early dinner. Everyone will be eating at 4:45 and a late dinner, they're not really home, she and Brian, until after 7, which for my younger kids is too, I mean, we're into the bedtime process by that point. We're not going to all eat in a few years, maybe. But so Allegra had, I wrote it all down. Allegra had some lunch meat and fruit at like 4:30 right before she left, so that I didn't want her like on a total empty stomach or just have something crappy. So she had some like some cold cuts and fruit before she left. I made, while Brian and she were at practice, I made French toast for Reed and Violet, which is, I've talked about it on this show before. It's one of my go-tos for like a kid dinner that comes together at the last minute, because I figure whole wheat bread, milk, eggs, a little bit of pancake syrup, yeah, or whatever, and some fruit, and it's better than a lot of other things that, you know, might happen at the last minute, including boxed mac and cheese. I feel like it's better than that because my bread is whole wheat. And anyway, so much so that Reed the other day let us know that he thought French toast was a dinner food. He was like, French toast isn't a breakfast food, because he's never. Anyway, I made Reed and Violet French toast. I ate a little bit of that with them and kind of nibbled off their plates. And then when Allegra and Brian got home, Brian ate some of the tenderloin and veggie leftovers from the night before. I think Allegra had some of that with him, some more of the beef. And I think I saved one piece of French toast for her. So she had like a pre-dinner and a post-dinner. Brian had leftovers late when he got home, and I kind of ate a little bit with everyone. So it was all over the map. But
all right,
there you go. French toast works for a dinner and a fast dinner.
It does. I think breakfast for dinner is a great idea. I do that whenever I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's our Mondays are just hard. I will say, before we move on real quick, I will say, a couple times since she started this softball season, which this is only an 8-week season, it's pretty short, a couple times we have done the thing where we bring kind of a picnic to the ball fields, and I'll feed, there's a playground there, and I'll feed Reed and Violet, pack up a picnic, which they think is fun. Brian and I have had like pre-made salads from Trader Joe's or something. And then at least by the time we all get home after 7 o'clock, we've all eaten. It may not have been at a table together, but, and it's kind of when the weather's nice and stuff, that's fun. So,
So on Tuesday,
yeah,
ready to move on to Tuesday?
Yeah, let's do it.
Tuesday is a football night for Owen. He had practice from 5:30 to 7. We made chicken, carrots, and broccoli. And as I recall, they were split chicken breasts with the bones in, which I like, because it takes a little, well, I like on those kinds of nights because it takes a little longer for those to cook, which means I can throw it in the oven and then run to pick Owen up. And when I get back, it's not dried out. So that was what I did. I ended up taking, like, I had everything pre-prepared before I took him, I think, to practice, because I had some running around to do. And then it was kind of all just like laid out. And all I do with the chicken breast, I really am so simple with those. I just usually sprinkle them with salt, or sometimes I will like slip lemon or garlic under the skin. And just, but usually it's very, and like sometimes I'll butter, but I really think it's great if it's got skin, if it's skin on,
yeah,
just a little salt at a high temperature to get a nice crispy skin. It's really good. So I'm pretty sure that's how I did it that night. And then the carrots and broccoli were just roasted, just olive oil and salt. And I'm pretty sure.
So were they all in the oven at the same time?
Yeah. And so sometimes you got to futz with the, you got to mess with the, that, I hope they didn't come out like it sounded like a swear word.
No,
F-U-T-Z. You have to mess with the temps sometimes when you do them together, especially if you're not going to be at the house, right? So it's not like I can take one thing out and put something, you know. Sometimes I'll start the, because I usually do, anytime I'm roasting chicken, I usually do it at 450.
Okay.
So with a whole chicken, that takes about an hour.
Right. Yep.
With a breast, I mean, it can be kind of all over the place. So sometimes it's like 45 minutes. Sometimes it's, you know, like less than that. So it's a little more touch and go. And I think what I may have actually done, now that I'm thinking about it, is I think I did the veggies before I left almost all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Let the chicken go while I was, and like on a lower heat, let the chicken go while I was running to get Owen, came back, took out the chicken, threw the veggies in on a higher heat just to let them caramelize a little bit for the last few minutes.
Okay.
It probably, you know, that's one of those times where everything doesn't come out perfect. I think the chicken was a bit dry, and I don't think the veggies were as cooked as I wanted, but it worked, and it was a necessity because it was a crazy night. And I think I served that with croissant rolls out of a can.
Oh, nice. I was going to ask if there was a bread or
which
a starch.
Which made the kids very happy. So.
Exactly. All right. Well, Tuesday we also had chicken. I found on a whim at Trader Joe's, which we don't buy a lot of our meat there, but it was a pre-marinated thing, which I do once in a while, and it was a mole sauce. So every once in a while I'll do one of their pre-marinated meats, especially if it's something I wouldn't make myself. Like, I have no idea how to make a mole sauce. And I figured my kids would like that better than some other sauces, because mole is not spicy. It's flavorful, but it's not overly like intense. So they were chicken thighs. So they were pre-marinated mole sauce chicken thighs from Trader Joe's. Brian did them on the grill, I believe. So I just had them ready. He gets home at a decent time on Tuesday. So he did them on the grill, and I made brown rice. And so the kids had chicken and rice, and I must have served fruit, because again, that's my go-to. I cut up some tomatoes and avocado for Brian and me, just raw. I didn't even make a salad or anything. And we just kind of put it all together. So he and I kind of had like chicken thigh, brown rice, and then fresh avocado, tomato. And I usually do keep cilantro around the house. So that was good. It was actually really good.
That sounds really good. I'm sorry.
And then the kids liked I feel like the mole chicken went over okay, at least with the girls. Again, Reed is the outlier, so I always know, you know, he's always going to try the meat and won't eat most of it. And we did all sit down together. I made a note of that too, because again, often you don't, somebody's somewhere, but we did sit down all together that Tuesday night.
So our Tuesday was a everyone hovering around the island night.
Okay. Yes.
Not an everyone sitting at the table together night.
It happened.
I think there may have been one moment where everyone was in the room together, but you know,
quick.
It didn't last. Exactly.
All right. So Wednesday you told me pork shoulder and cauliflower.
Wednesday, I really got my crap together.
All right.
Partly getting up so early for the radio thing is helping me with that, because I had already looked in the fridge. You know, sometimes you literally, if you don't have a good plan, you actually forget what's in your fridge. And then by the time you look in the fridge at 2 or whatever, it's too late to even start something like a pork shoulder.
Yep.
So by the time I got home from the radio station at, you know, 9:30, I had already been in the fridge a couple of times. And so even though I already had this planned out, it was nice to have that visual reminder. And I thought, if I put that in now, it's going to be awesome. So I just used my big Dutch oven, and the meat was actually too big to sear in the Dutch oven very well. So I seared it first in a pan and then put it in the Dutch oven, and I have a little recipe. I braised it with beer. I'm trying to think what else I put in it. Garlic, some spices, but I keep it fairly bland, because I like to do, after the pulled pork, after it's all fallen apart and delish and like cooked well, I sometimes like to make carnitas, and I just mix it up with barbecue sauce and make pulled pork sandwiches. So I like to keep it fairly, I guess, generic in flavor when I originally cook it. And then I add flavor later when I re-cook it. So I just put that in the oven at like 250 for all day.
Okay.
It was in there from probably 11 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Okay, and so then, I have a really dumb question before we move on. Do you leave your house with something in the oven when no one's at home? You do? Yes. Okay. I think a lot of people do, and I'm just never sure if that's okay.
I mean, at 250, yeah.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't leave something at 450 without anyone else in the house. I did leave that chicken at a high temperature, but Jacob was home.
And I knew you had older kids who are sometimes around.
Yeah,
so
at 250, I'm not worried about it. Maybe that's terribly unsafe of me, but I don't really see how otherwise
you're not the only one.
And even a crock pot gets pretty hot.
Exactly.
And I always think a crock pot's worse, because it's out on the counter, and if you have pets, or like if anything shorts out.
Right, and there's an electrical cord right there.
Yeah, exactly. That does not concern me. So, and then I just, you know, that night I literally just pulled out hunks of pork when it was all folly aparty.
Okay.
And served that up with cauliflower. And I believe we also had canned croissant rolls that night as well. Or some kind of biscuit in a tube. I don't remember now exactly what it was. Yeah. And that went over really well. And the cauliflower was roasted. And so I took the meat out, because with the Dutch oven in there, there's not room for anything else.
Right.
But I just left the lid on, and it kept cooking for a while the cauliflower was in.
You know what? I feel like we need to say something about this. The croissants in the tube is giving me kind of memories of how often when I was a kid, I just really looked forward to the bread and butter. And
yes,
like
always my favorite.
If I did croissants in a can actually for Reed, I bet, I'm just thinking out loud, but I bet he'd actually be more willing to try the other stuff. He'd be so excited. It would put him in such a good mood.
Yeah.
And I kind of often forget, or you know, don't even think about that kind of bread option, and I'll just, if I know the kids aren't going to like some things, I'll just do buttered boring bread. But it's just true. And I'm such a good eater now. I like everything now. I love vegetables.
You're a good eater.
I'm a good eater. But I ate bread and butter, I'm sure, for a lot of those meals. So I guess it's sort of a take heart thing.
Yes, I ate so much bread and butter at dinner time as a kid. I remember that was one thing. My mom would always have it out. And so you could always eat it. I mean, and I remember sometimes just like basically sustaining myself on bread and butter and picking at everything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a good eater now too. So.
And special bread, like, you know, croissants or biscuits from a can or whatever, you know, I think my mom used to make like Bisquick biscuits sometimes. And that always even felt special. Like it was part of the deal.
Yeah. I think they were on sale. We wouldn't usually have them two nights back to back, but they were like two for buy two, get two. I don't remember. It was some kind of crazy deal. So.
Did I cut you off talking about cauliflower?
No, I didn't have anything else to say about cauliflower. It was roasted.
Okay.
You know, surprise, surprise, roasted vegetable in my house.
Surprise, surprise. I love roasted cauliflower though. It's so good. Okay. Wednesday, I'll be quick. It was another unusual night for us. That's why this week was kind of less than normal, but the big kids had a birthday party, a weeknight birthday party. I dropped them off. It was at a laser tag place and I got out of there real fast because it was crazy.
Laser tag.
So I dropped them off, got them started, and then Violet and I came home. Brian picked them up from the birthday party at about, I want to say like, it was after six. So Violet and I were kind of home, just the two of us. I fed her oatmeal and a little Naked Juice, like fruit smoothie that we get again from Costco in the little mini sizes. We don't always get them, but it's kind of fun for her. So she had oatmeal and a store-bought smoothie. When they got home from the party... Oh, they had eaten there. So they ate pizza at a birthday party and cake, I'm sure. And Brian had the mole chicken leftovers. And again, none of this happened at the same time. And I ate a bowl of cereal when everyone was in bed. So that was a banner night for us.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. Oatmeal. Hey, another breakfast for dinner. Okay. Thursday. Do you have your Thursday?
Thursday. Yeah. So Thursday was, again, like I peaked midweek and then went quickly downhill for the rest of the week. So Thursday we had tons of meat left. So I'd made a pork shoulder. They're huge. So Thursday I sauteed up a bunch. I don't even know what you call it. Like you just kind of crisp the meat up in a pan.
Okay.
And it kind of just fries up in its own fat. And I added all my Mexican spices and like cumin and lime and lime juice and cilantro and all that. And then so you had the option of having pork tacos or carnitas,
right.
Or William opted to have pulled pork sandwiches with barbecue sauce. Clara wanted pulled pork sandwiches without barbecue sauce, and she actually went crazy for them. And she that's not usually her kind of thing.
Okay.
So I was really happy about that. I just bought some sub buns and
I was going to ask what you had for bread.
Yeah, okay. Some kind of sub bun, and then I had and then John also stir fried up some of the leftover chicken. So the kids kind of ate like I want to say people ate twice or maybe. The next night, I think maybe we just continued the leftovers into the next night because there was definitely plenty left the next night as well. So, I mean, I just answered for Thursday and Friday. It was basically the same two nights in a row.
Yeah. No,
it was a lot of us all standing around the counter talking and eating different things and sampling. And
Well, and that is like a good point that that's as much a family dinner as anything, I think.
Right.
I think it takes a little while to get the hang of using leftovers creatively. I think sometimes when we think leftovers, we just think put the exact same thing on a plate and microwave it, which is why a lot of people don't like leftovers. But you were really strategic. You're saying that it went downhill, but it didn't really. You had sub buns on hand to make sandwiches. You knew how to take the meat. I mean, all of that takes practice. And obviously
it does take practice.
You've had some. But I think it's great. And it's also cost effective to buy meat that can be converted the next day into other things.
Well, and it's kind of like something like a bunch of cilantro. I'll just always have that on hand if I can, like fresh, because there's always going to be something I can do with it during the week. And the way my grocery store is laid out, the one that I usually go to, all the vegetables and herbs and stuff are first.
Right.
So if I haven't thoroughly scoured the meat sales, I don't necessarily know what I'm going to be wandering into. So I just try to keep everything like – all the veggies and stuff, and herbs, I try to make them things that could go with anything.
Right.
And then after I pick out the meat, then I can be like, okay, now I'm going to need some tortillas or some buns or whatever, or rice or whatever, and like add that on after I go. But it takes practice, definitely.
Right. Yeah. Well, our Thursday, Brian worked late. I heated up these pre-cooked chicken sausages. The brand we get is that Idel's brand. It's kind of a natural. They have it at, actually, they have it at most grocery stores. It's not just.
I think I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it, does it have like a cardboard cup, like outside?
And so the chicken apple one goes over really well with kids. It just doesn't have a lot of added crap in it. So that's kind of why. But it's available at all stores, not just kind of natural food stores. So I usually microwave those. I think they do taste better. Sometimes if I have time, I'll put them in a pan on kind of medium low heat and let them just heat up like all the air all around them. Cause I mean, microwaving isn't the greatest, the most flavorful way to cook anything, but often that's what I do. The kids don't complain. So I heated up some of those chicken sausages for the kids and then they had fruit and buttered toast. That was what the kids ate. I kind of ate off their plates with them. Brian got home late. And he did one of these. This is another good Trader Joe's thing. It's I'll have to take a picture and put it in the show notes because I'm not going to describe it well. But it's frozen veggies and grains all together. So when you heat it up, like if you picture a bag of frozen peas and carrots, like the old kind, but it has some of them have like a quinoa or a couscous or some other grain. There's different ones. And so it's really like a veggie and a grain all together. And then you could, you know, we just heat it up in a pan and then you could season it with, you could kind of make it stir fry style. You could really season it however you want. Mm-hmm. But it's filling and the veggies are interesting. It's more than just peas and carrots. So Brian had one of those and he can eat like a whole bag for himself. So that's what he had when he got home. And I will take a picture of that one from the show notes. Because if you are a Trader Joe's person, we have a couple favorites of those and they're good. You know, things to have on hand.
Yeah. I always want like those, you know, convenience things that, are healthy enough.
Yeah.
Yes. I will say that for the family of my size and with having so many teenagers, those things kind of peaked in usefulness like 5 years ago for me.
Yep.
There was a time I could feed our whole family on something like that. And now it's like, we have to buy so many of them to stretch out across everyone that it's not really worth it anymore.
Yeah. No, we're definitely in the phase where this is like a good adult option if the kids for some reason are eating something, you know, if you're kind of splitting it up, which is what happened this particular night. Brian worked late. And I again kind of ate off people's plates and had a bowl of cereal. Two nights this particular week, I had a bowl of cereal after bedtime, which is not like me. It's also not admirable. But
you're starting a new trend.
Yeah, it's not a good one. Okay, so Friday you said more of the same.
More of the same. It was kind of, John and I went to see a play and I remember standing at the counter just kind of madly arranging plates before we were leaving and filling them with whatever the kids wanted. And I should tell the stir fry, I didn't really get into that, but our stir fry is just super simple. We have a bottle of some kind of stir fry sauce that I think maybe we got from Trader Joe's or maybe even Aldi because we don't really ever go to Trader Joe's, but John will sometimes when he's in Chicago. And then it was just the leftover chicken, mushrooms. I just that's another thing I'll always pick up when I'm in the produce section, even if I don't have a plan for it. I'll just pick up a thing of button mushrooms because they're cheap.
Yeah.
And you can always find something to do with them. And broccoli. I think that was it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So kids liked it and it's simple and you don't really have to think about it too hard. And that's one of John's go-tos. So I always know like if there's any kind of leftover poultry or leftover sausage or something, I'll be like, hey, John, would you make a stir fry? And it's perfect. So
yeah, no, we also always have mushrooms and two of my three kids really like mushrooms, which is pretty good for, I don't think I liked mushrooms till I was in my 20s. And I have found, I for a while was buying a bag of sliced mushrooms. Just because, you know, it takes a little bit of time to, and if you're doing a stir fry or something, if you want to be quick, it takes time to cut them or whatever. But I realized they go slimy so fast when they're, at least the ones I was buying, when they're pre-sliced, and the ones that are not pre-sliced, just in the normal mushroom container that are whole, will last like 2 weeks in my fridge. So I don't think I had connected the dots there, but I'm no longer buying the sliced. It's because they'd be like the first thing to go bad.
Yeah, they go bad really fast. And it does not take long to slice up a mushroom.
No, it doesn't. It does not. So, okay, well, Friday, we actually cooked. I think I was feeling like we'd had so many of these weird like pizza birthday party, late working nights. We don't always cook on Friday. Often Brian might pick up something on the way home or we'll order in or just do leftovers. But we did cook that particular Friday. So I roasted a bunch of vegetables, just like you've described. I think we did bell peppers, onions, mushrooms. Sometimes we roast mushrooms on there. So we roasted a bunch of veggies in the oven. But then we ended up adding them to a pasta sauce. So we had another Italian chicken sausage, but this one's not pre-cooked. So it comes in links, but I squeeze it out of the links so that we brown it ground. Does that make sense? So it's ground. ground Italian chicken sausage, browned that, and then added, well, again, with the kids, they sometimes like things deconstructed. So the eventual meal for Brian and I was like a marinara sauce from a jar with the Italian chicken sausage and all the roasted vegetables all together. So it was sausage, veggies, marinara on top of pasta. The kids like everything separate. So they really like this particular chicken sausage. They'd eat that. We usually give them like a little tiny bowl of red sauce to dip in. And it's funny because my kids will all eat red sauce, but they sometimes, if it's all over everything, it freaks them out. So they'll like take their fork and dip a forkful of noodles in the red sauce. But if it's all over, for some reason, someone won't want it. So they kind of had deconstructed pasta. They had the meat. They probably ate a few mushrooms or whatever else was in the veggies that they liked. And then the pasta and red sauce all separate. Ours was all together and it was really good. So that was an Italian
night.
Nice.
That sounds like a nice Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
So Saturday.
Yeah.
John and I went to an engagement party and ate delicious finger foods. And the kids had Papa John's.
Nice.
So we've got we even have the Papa John's app now because I don't really care for it that much. I mean, it's fine. I don't really care for most like pizza chain pizzas. Not to be a pizza snob, it's just I feel like there's always something I don't love about them.
Yeah.
But Papa John's is reasonably priced and the kids love it. So we have like the app and we always like have a free one waiting for us because I guess we just eat a lot of pizza. So
yeah,
that was us.
I feel like I like Papa John's better than I do other major pizza. I don't know. I think I've become a little bit of a pizza snob too. And I love just crappy cheap pizza, but we were somewhere just recently and I didn't see where it was from. I just picked up a slice of pizza and I had to look back at the box and I was like, oh, this is not good. I'm not even going to say which one it was, but it was not good.
Well, I used to be really, really into Pizza Hut. But it's just, it's like a teenager pizza. It's like super greasy. I used to like the pan.
Yeah.
And because I liked my food like thick and greasy and heavy, and I just don't anymore. So it's harder for me now to find stuff.
It almost tastes like fake or tastes like fake butter or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I almost sometimes like frozen pizzas better now like with a really crispy crust. Like I can get behind a good frozen pizza.
Yeah. But agreed.
Anyway.
One of my pregnancies, Costco has a, like, their 4-pack of whatever they're just like. The plainest frozen cheese pizza 4-pack. They're like four for $10 or something, really cheap. And those got me through like an entire pregnancy, not just myself, but also feeding children that I didn't want to cook for and all of that.
So. I will also say that although it's not my go-to favorite personally, Little Caesars Hot and Ready has saved my butt.
Okay.
Many
I don't
times.
Think we have Little Caesars here
oh
or
my
it's
gosh.
Just not
it's,
big.
It's like $5 pizza. You just go in and they're always just sitting there. They're they're hot and they're ready.
Hot and ready.
And you just go in and you go, here's my $5. I will take a pizza.
Yeah, that is
sometimes if you're having a party or like a bunch of kids at your house or you just really, you know, I remember using it a lot when I was pregnant and just would get super tired around that time of night.
Right.
That was always a blessing.
So when your kids are all staying home.
Little Caesars. What's that?
When you guys went out and everybody was staying home, they just order their own pizza.
We order it for them.
You can tell this is not my life yet.
I'm we order it for them.
Tell
usually.
Me more. Okay, you did order.
Because otherwise, they'll pick a bunch of stuff we don't want them to get. I mean, they're capable, but I don't want them adding on, you know, wings and all this stuff. And also, we have the payment method, so we just do what we do. The we do everything tip included. Just pay for it all ahead of time, and then they just have to have the oldest looking kid go to the door and say they're the card holder, which I think is hilarious when they ask, like, "Are you the card holder?" And my teenage son is like, "Well, yes."
Well, yes, I am. That's very
They
funny.
Don't ask too many questions, though. So
yeah, really, for a pizza delivery. That's funny.
Exactly.
Okay, well, Saturday I went to a party. So I made a really yummy salad that I started making this summer after I had it somewhere and tried to recreate it. So I made a salad to take to the party that Brian also ate, which is why it's relevant in what the family ate. But it is – it just sounds really California, obnoxiously healthy. But it's quinoa and then like a cabbage mix, like an Asian cabbage mix, quinoa, garbanzo beans, cilantro, red bell peppers, carrots, and then peanuts and like a peanut style Asian dressing. So it's sort of like an Asian healthy salad. Yeah. I don't know. I can't explain it, but it's really good. It's the quinoa and cabbage make it really substantial. So it's not, it does not feel like eating a leafy salad. It feels like eating more like a grain based salad mixture. But it's the, I'm a sucker for Thai, like Thai and peanut and Thai peanut Asian flavor profile. Yes. So it has that, but it's super healthy. And the garbanzo beans, and yeah, it's really good. So I made a big thing of that to take to a party. Brian ate a portion of that. I made enough. The kids had turkey corn dogs from Trader Joe's, which are from the frozen section. And they're, I just started getting them recently for like weekend nights. They're, I know I sound like a walking Trader Joe's commercial, but I like that there's not a lot of extra preservative crap in most, even their frozen and prepared food. I'm not saying that a corn dog, a turkey corn dog, is bringing my children the nutrition they need, but it's not, it's at least not like delivering a whole bunch of extra crap. So, yeah, so these turkey corn dogs, they like, my only issue is they come in a thing of four, and I have three children, and there's always like the one.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to save it in the freezer. I don't know. And then Brian had gotten them a bag of frozen French fries. So they had corn dogs and fries in front of a movie. But also Allegra that day had spent time in the kitchen. I've talked about how she loves to cook, and with her Kidster, recipe, who Kidster was our sponsor a couple of episodes ago. She made homemade ravioli, like actually rolled it out and made it with this cute little like ravioli mold press thing that came with her kit. And they were good. It was not like a professional. We don't have like the KitchenAid thing where you can roll out the dough.
She didn't make professional level pasta on her first try at age eight. No. Oh my, come on.
But they were good. So that, that was kind of fun too. They had that with their corn dogs. So, both Friday and Saturday nights, our kids line up and sit on the floor with a placemat in front of them and eat in front of a movie because they don't watch a lot of TV or much TV at all during the week. So we look forward to that like 5 o'clock Friday and Saturday, and they eat their dinner in front of a movie and we eat ours in the kitchen, hopefully finishing sentences and having a conversation. So.
Right. Wow.
Wow. Did we make it through the whole?
We made it through. I am so hungry.
You're so hungry.
I'm going to go pour some green juice.
Oh man.
It's got green apple and celery and cucumber and something spicy that I can't identify in it. So,
well, I think this was, I think it's good to talk about not only real life stuff, but also creative ways to use leftovers.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, how it works when everybody isn't sitting down at the same table at 6 o'clock every night, but are still, you know, still hovering around the same counter at some point during the evening.
So let me ask you this. What have you got planned for dinner tonight?
Well, I need to go to the store. So we're recording this on a Monday. It's just before noon my time. I will pick up Violet from preschool and we'll go to the store together. But you mentioned earlier in this show that sometimes when you've been to the store, you don't have enough time or energy or headspace. Right. To figure out what to make. But actually, I do know. So we have chicken that's in the fridge that either needs to be dealt with or frozen. We just buy boneless, skinless chicken breasts, which is not as yummy as what you did. But so I think Brian's going to grill the chicken. And we'll grill up the whole thing from Costco, which we'll then use in sandwiches and quesadillas and stuff throughout the week. So I think we're going to grill chicken tonight. And I just need to figure out from what I get at the store what else we will have with that. How about you guys?
Well, I went shopping this morning before the hunger kicked in. And I shopped and bought stuff to make ziti, and now I think that will just be torture. But I'd rather do it today. I'm doing this for a couple of days, so I'd rather do it today than tomorrow when I'm truly desperate.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'll probably just make something really bland. It looks terrible.
Yeah. Like, here you are, family. I can't bring myself to make something appetizing.
These seeds, these leaves and sticks. Yeah. So I don't know what I was thinking. We'll see if I make it. Yeah. I'm already sitting here trying to talk myself into the idea that maybe beans could be part of a healthy cleanse.
Bean juice? Maybe.
No, just like just beans. I mean, they've got lots of fiber.
Yeah, beans are great for you.
Maybe I'll just eat a big plate of beans.
I don't know. It sounds like cheating. I'm going to tell whoever your accountability partner is.
I'm just thinking about it. I didn't say I'm going to do it.
She's considering going rogue.
Considering, yes, exactly.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, I do want to point people to a couple of other episodes we've done that kind of go well with this one. If you are a new listener and you want more meal planning, shopping, head to themomhour.com and check out the show notes for this episode, which is episode 72. And then in there, I'll link to the other food and meal planning related shows we've done. because we have talked about it before, just never through the lens of what we actually ate for dinner. And I just have to say, like, this is, I think, refreshing to talk through this because meal plans are often future focused, right? It can all sound good when we say what we're going to make for the week. When you look back at it, you see where, you know, where you had to cut corners or where it didn't turn out the way you planned. And that's okay too. We all ate. All the children went to bed with food in their bellies.
Absolutely. So. And I'm sure the plan that I had in my head at the beginning of the week was not actually what ended up working out.
So, yeah. No,
you switch things around and pinch hit when you have to. So,
yeah. A couple other things really quick before we wrap. I wanted to kind of let people know that we are getting together in person in Denver, of all places, in the first weekend of December. And I threw this out on Facebook, but Facebook is so tricky. Not everybody sees stuff. So you and I are considering having a just short, casual meetup in real life of any Denver area listeners. But we got to know who you guys are and if that would actually be possible. So there's no details yet, but if you are in the Denver area or would drive to hang out with us that first weekend in December on a Saturday or Sunday, probably afternoon, early evening, just email us hello@themomhour.com and just let us know if you're potentially interested. There's nothing set in stone yet, but we don't get to see each other in person very often, and we will be together in person and thought it might be fun to meet some real listeners.
So. Yeah, I think that would be great.
Yep. All right. Well, that's all I got for this week. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And that's all. Have a great week, everybody.
Yep. Bye-bye.